The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and the green future.
Fast by, good afternoon, 7 minutes after midday. Man in line open through to one. Lines open on 66 13 68. You can text on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. WhatsApp on 166 177 as well. Just a quick word of warning, tomorrow morning between 7 and 8, organisers of the Grand Prix are carrying out an on-course test of the electronic red flag system, which was introduced earlier on this year. The electronic flags introduced to the Yatiti Mountain course as part of the safety management system to act as an additional measure running alongside the existing Marshall's red flag system. The electronic system enables the clerk to immediately raise further rapid awareness that all racing should immediately halt, helping draw further attention to Marshall's officials and riders. Now, the electronic flag system has been installed around the course and successfully utilised during the TT. So ahead of the Grand Prix, which, as I mentioned, starts a week on Sunday, the 21st, as a precaution, organisers are retesting the system using the correct red display colour. It was a big success, so we wish them well with that. Tomorrow morning, 7 till 8, that's what's happening around the course. There is that. Let's get to the lines now, and it's Julian with us. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Well, lovely weather, eh?
Isn't it gorgeous? I thought you'd be out swimming.
Ah, I've been already, and I'm going to go again a bit later. So,
where did you swim?
Keep my eyes open. All over the place, really. I tend to find the south is better because it's a little bit more dramatic. You know, you've got all the, you know, if you go up north, you've got, especially off the airs, you tend to find there's quite strong currents and there's not a great deal to see, really. But when you're south somewhere where the cliffs are and things, you tend to see. Just got to keep an eye open for the for the jellies because there's a few around at the moment.
Okay, what's on your mind today?
Southern Swimming Pool. A Freedom of Information Act request asking about the cost of the review has yielded an interesting reply or response to the Freedom of Information request. It has been refused, but it obviously balances the factors in favour of giving the information and the factors to exempt the information. And the factors in favour were accountability, public understanding and informed debate, need to ensure that commercial activities, including procurement process, are conducted in an honest way. But the counterbalance to it was impact on future tenders that might provide an indication of prices, therefore it won't be a level playing field in future, although I'm not quite sure how that works because prices change. I mean, the inflation rate at the moment, who knows what anything's going to cost. And bearing in mind, Jersey government didn't mind putting it on because you saw it for your own eyes, didn't you?
I can't remember. How much was that? How much did they pay?
I think that was on around about 50,000, wasn't it, I think, at the time. But that was a few years ago from the same Knight, Cavanaugh and Page company. The other reasons to exempt. Now, this is interesting. Inhibit ability of public authority staff to have a safe space. Information amounts to personal data through General Data Protection Act, Article 5, personal data. And also Article 6, the data subject must give consent to the processing. I'm not sure if Knight, Cavanaugh and Page getting paid by public money has got anything to do with a particular personal thing. I mean, this is something, what they're basically saying is that the public interest is being defeated by a data processor that might not be giving consent to it being given out because of the request for a safe space. But if that's the case, does this apply to all sorts of things that we're going to be buying? I mean, you know, if government decides to go and buy something else that's very expensive without, and they don't want to tell you how much it is, are they going to sort of, is this the way that the GDPR rules are going to be interpreted? Well, sorry, but the data processor hasn't given consent because they need a safe space.
Has the survey, has the report finished? Have they been and gone?
I think they've been and gone. I'm not aware as yet. Nobody's disclosed if they've come to a particular conclusion or not.
It was supposed to be September, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see whether we can actually have an answer to that, because if Jersey can do it, why can't we do it? I mean, you know, what's the difference?
Just run through that again, the stuff about the data protection and the safe space.
Yeah, inhibit the ability of public authority staff to have a safe space. What does that mean? Does that mean if they disclose the price, they're going to have a run on them or something? Information amounts to personal data under GDPR Article 5, which is personal data, and it's being refused under the Section 30 exemption part of the Freedom of Information Act request, you know, all the bits that go on. Sorry to be giving out all these numbers.
No, it's interesting. I mean, the fact is, all we need to know is the fact that it probably cost about £50,000. They've done a review of all the pools. There will be the result of the... I can't quite see this safe space and public good and this, that and the other. I can't quite see where that fits in.
Obviously, Jersey government, they don't need as much of a safe space as we do then.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think that there's anything fairly ominous about a swimming pool report for the entire Isle of Man. We all know what the situation with the southern swimming pool is, and it's not going to stop the southern pool being under the microscope of public interest, surely.
I know, and also it involves all the pools. So, I mean, I would have thought, I mean, you know, if there's around a 26,000-person catchment area for southern swimming pool, and they have about 80,000-odd entries a year, multiple, the same people again, but 80,000 entries, you scale that up to Peel, Ramsey, NSC, that's quite a lot of people that might have a public interest, especially now that we're having to tighten our belts with all this
Well, I think we can all read between the lines and know that the new pool at Ramsey, the fairly new pool at Peel, and the fairly new pool at Douglas aren't under any threat. I think we all know where the arrow's pointing, and we know that situation is complicated by Castle Rushen High School not being built or rebuilt yet. So we all know where they, you know, who's going to be looking where, Julian.
And also, of course, it's complicated also by the fact that Peel and Ramsey had 250,000 more in the last 8 years, and NSC has had 4 million, and Castletown had 19,145 quid in the last 8 years.
I mean,
it's a bigger complication.
Sure. I mean, there's also an element that, looking after public money is the government's job. And, you know, it could be said that, you know, spending money on the Southern Pool is throwing good money after bad, because at some point it's going to have to be rebuilt. If they decide there is going to be a pool for Castletown and it is the one rather than the whatever happens at King William's College, surely spending new money later on is a better investment for the South.
Well, I don't know. I mean, for example, the solar thermal panels, the tubed ones, which are the most efficient of all that type, because solar thermal, you're not changing the type of energy. It's heat to heat. So it's almost 98% of the energy of the sun goes straight in the water. Whereas PV, which we talked, I think was mentioned yesterday, the photovoltaics, the best you can get is about 20%. And especially as it gets hotter, it gets worse because of the way that the electrons sort of bounce around. You don't get the same efficiencies, ironically. So the temperature is another issue, which is why some of them are water cooled, even to cool them down. But those solar thermal ones, they get strapped to the roof on a rack. But if you build a new pool, well, it's glass. I mean, you know, as long as you're careful with it, you unstrap them when you put the new pool up, shove them on. And especially if you size it for a 25-metre pool, it might be a bit wider, so you might add a few more panels, but the new ones are modular, so you can just keep banging them into each other to get you more heat when you need it. You just have to make sure that you have a mind when you put it on the new one that you leave a bit of space to one side to put the extra modules in so that you can up the amount of sun heat that you put into the pool water.
Julian, is there a sign at Castletown saying what's going to be happening to Sunday and Monday come September?
Well, let's put it this way. I went in Tuesday morning and it was closed again for about an hour because, guess what? Chlorine levels were down again because, normally speaking, they're checked every day. But for some reason, again, 10, 12 people were handed a free chitty to come in for another free entry. So they're losing the money on 12 entries just for that. So, and I understand that the vending machines are not really in any use now, so who knows what that's going to do, because they've got the rent that's going out every month and nobody's really using them apparently. But again, we'd only know that we're looking at the accounts, which also seems to be difficult to see as well. So
what do you think this report's going to say, Julian?
difficult to second guess, really. As we spoke about it before, depends what the question was asked, but we can't even get that, so I don't know. It would be nice to have what was it they said? Openness and transparency was one of the reasons to allow this information to come out, but it was overridden by, well, safe spaces, GDPR legislation.
All right. I appreciate that, Julian. Thanks for that today.
Right. Thanks, then. Cheers.
It's good to talk to you. And Andrew's with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Good day to you, Andy. This is an item on your news board, please, reference to that. Chief Minister chairs meeting of Economic Strategy Board.
Yeah.
Who, please, do you know, is on who constitutes the Economic Strategy Board that has met yesterday? Can anybody tell us, please? And your story then goes on to say the board agreed the immediate priority had to be blah, blah, blah. Then it says the Council of Ministers is due to meet on Tuesday before meeting with all members of Tynwald to consider wider support. So is this Tynwald being recalled, or is this an informal meeting of Tynwald? Is it going to be open and transparent, this meeting? Are members going to be asking questions? Will they be recorded? How are the public going to know what's being discussed?
Well, the Economic Strategy Board, isn't this the one through the Department of Enterprise that's got KPMG involved, the out of big picture thing about what's going to happen in the future?
Well, I'm taking it that's what it is, because I don't have the full names in front of me.
Yeah, well, I think there are a couple of, I'm trying to remember who it is. It's Simon Nicholas, I think, who's one of the KPMG people, and Nicola Mazzarotto, I think, who is involved. So there are those two. I can't think that the Treasury Minister wouldn't be involved, so presumably Dr. Allenson will be around and about. But what's your thoughts on these meetings?
It's not open and transparent government. This is this seems to be just a rubber stamping exercise. I mean, you can see the slippery slope here. I mean, the Council of Ministers is due to meet on Tuesday before meeting with all members of Tynwald to consider wider support. Now, to consider wider support, is it a public debate, this, with all the Tynwald members? Is Tynwald being recalled for this or not? Is it going on the record as to what Tynwald members have to say about it?
Oh, I think you think they may just decide it and announce it without going through Tynwald.
Correct. Correct. I mean, this is the slippery slope of an authoritarian state, surely, where stuff is brought out and it's not put before Parliament to vote on, and it's not recorded.
Well,
should not Tynwald be recalled? I'd like to hear, please, maybe from Mr. Speaker, what his thoughts are.
Okay, well, I think we're chasing that in the newsroom today, so we'll certainly see what happens. I mean, the fact is that, I mean, I don't know what your view is, Andrew. Do we have a crisis coming down the line? I mean, at the moment, it feels like a phony war at the moment because nobody's using that much energy because of the weather. but it's certainly going to start biting later on this year. What part do you think the government has to play in all this?
Well, certainly the government has to provide some support for those most in need. But, I mean, going to why we're going to the Economic Strategy Board, are they not? Is the Treasury, is it not competent on its own to deal with this? What are we paying the Treasury people for? If you're saying this is going to an outside consultancy, how much are they being paid extra for having to provide further advice?
Good question, and something we'll follow up. Andrew, I appreciate your call today. Thanks for that.
Thanks now.
All right, it's 22 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio, live from the Isle of Man. This is the story about the government considering a further support in light of the rising cost of living. Chief Minister has chaired a meeting of the Economic Strategy Board. Treasury Minister is expected to make an announcement before the end of the week. In fact, I believe that will probably be sometime tomorrow morning regarding further financial support in light of the rising cost of living, which appears to be coming down the line absolutely inexorably regarding the cost of energy and most other things as well. So we'll see. Let's get to the lines now. And we've got, Anthony's with us. Hi, Anthony.
Hi. I'm just calling just to make people aware that CTH Insurance are trying to introduce a loophole to the Isle of Man. Currently, there's a loophole in the UK where if you crash due to a medical incident, like if you have a heart attack, your insurance is void. Therefore, anything you hit or any damage you cause, you are liable for yourself.
Okay, and how do you know about this?
My car was crashed into by an elderly lady who has potentially had a heart attack, and they've contacted me and told me that her insurance is void due to a medical incident and they won't be paying for my vehicle.
So you presumably have to claim on your comprehensive insurance?
No, my insurance is third party. What they've told me is what I have to do now is sue an 80-year-old woman who's just had a heart attack, which is morally not very good. And I don't believe CTH should be allowed to introduce this policy to the Isle of Man because it's never been used before.
Okay, all right. If you can drop as a note with all the details of that, Anthony, if you drop that to newsroom@manxradio.com, that's certainly something we'll look at.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for that. Thanks for reporting that today. Can we please text a 775, dropped a note into Manx Radio and says, can we please find out and discuss the fact that one-way system is being removed from the mountain road for next year's TT? I've heard it's going back to two-way traffic and a blanket speed limit is going to be introduced. Now, is that right? Also, Texter 350 said, is the Manx government trying to kill the TT Mountain speed limit and two-way traffic? Kill the TT Mountain speed limit and two-way traffic. The motorcyclists won't come under all the speed limits all around the course, yet everything has been done for the cyclists. We've not heard that for a fact, the fact that the mountain course will be two-way and there will be a speed limit around it. Again, something that we'll look at, and if you know anything about that, please, by all means, get in touch. Thank you to this texter who drops a note in, Mike in Lazare on 515. Two petrol stations in Ramsey, one's 190, the other is 180. How does that work? They may say they got the petrol at different times, but 10p difference. The UK predicts, says Pat, that energy cost per household will be £4,300 per annum by January. That's what, £82 a week. Now, we know that energy costs here are much higher than the UK, so I'm guessing our annual costs will reach perhaps £6,000 next year. £120 a week, that is. So that's frightening. How are pensioners going to manage the cost when the average state pensions are only £200 a week? Well, we'll see what the government's got to say tomorrow about this, whether the government will be providing help for vulnerable people on the Isle of Man, and also how you define a vulnerable person. Obviously, it has been mentioned many times, there are pensioners on the Isle of Man, old age pensioners, senior citizens, who are struggling, but of course there are many pensioners on the Isle of Man who are extremely well-heeled. There are some millionaire pensioners on the Isle of Man. So how does that work? Mr. Callister said yesterday the MUA isn't profiting from gas prices, but a search suggests to me that ERA, where we buy our gas, has lower gas prices per kilowatt hour. Something doesn't add up, says G. I think we buy our gas from the market. We merely use the Bord gas pipeline. And thank you, Rob, as well. Rob dropped a note in. This is Rob Callister, MHK. Thank you, Rob, regarding Andrew's comments. Although there is no Keys or Timwell sitting until October, normal day-to-day business continues. The meeting on Tuesday is an opportunity for the Chief Minister, ministers and all Timwell members, an opportunity to fully discuss the escalating situation in respect of the cost of living crisis. Depending on those initial discussions, the Treasury team will have a better understanding of where to target any support this autumn and for the later period. That's Rob Callister, one of the Onken MHKs, who has got in touch with us, and that's that situation. So the meeting on Tuesday will be the Chief Minister, ministers, all Timwell members there having an opportunity to discuss what is happening. And I thought I just would reiterate, with all the speculation about what is happening with the TT Mountain course, or particularly the mountain section next year, that the Department of Enterprise does have that second public consultation for the proposed TT races and the schedule of next year. Now, you have until the 12th of August, that is midnight tonight. You have until midnight tonight, and the department invites you on the Isle of Man, off the Isle of Man, for that matter, to submit views regarding the government portal. That's gov.im. If you go there, it's the second public consultation for the proposed schedule for races next year in the TT. The department got a limited number of responses, we remember, to the original public consultation in 2021. Therefore, due to the importance of the new schedule, the department needs to hear from you. One of those things, if you don't reply, don't moan afterwards. If you've got something to say, you have till midnight tonight to say it. Due to the importance of the new schedule, there's a further opportunity. Businesses, organizations, groups, associations, residents, individuals, people, anything to say, then please provide feedback on the proposed schedule before they confirm the 2023 schedule. So by all means, go to the government portal, gov.im, and look for that TT race, 2023 TT race schedule public consultation, which closes at midnight tonight. Andrew's back with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andy. I just heard what you were saying there with Mr. Rob Collister having phoned in, and it is quite concerning, isn't it? He's confirmed that the business of Tynwald continues, but there's going to be a meeting, and the question is the meeting going to be recorded and minuted and made available? Is there going to be any vote on what's presented?
Yeah, that's interesting. He said there's going to be, that they'll have an opportunity to discuss the escalating situation. Will it be that they're just presented with the facts as they are and recommendations, or will, as you say, will there be any element of voting in this?
If there's some fundamental issues being brought forward here that's going to impact people, it's wrong that it's not going to be, if it's not recorded, and there's no proceedings or vote taken on it.
We'll certainly wait and see, I think tomorrow there may be some announcements regarding what the government proposes to do in the way of support for the vulnerable on the Isle of Man, so we'll move on from there. I mean, Andrew, nobody quite knows what's going to happen, do they?
If there's Tynwald members that have contrary views, where is that going to be recorded? If they're going to bring something forward, there should be a vote on it, just like the budget. And it's just going to be wrong if it's not minuted, who said what, and those minutes are made public, just like Tynwald Hansard minutes.
Okay, all right.
Thanks now.
Good to hear from you. Thank you.
Don't miss the Jacksons and Motor Mall Mini Motor Show at the Royal Manx Agricultural Show, Knockalo. Cars, vans, motorbikes, hybrids and electric. Plus extra special show-only offers all weekend.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
Amazing is coming, and Shaw Ultrafast Fibre Broadband is the accelerator, creating a revolution in education, the fast lane to entertainment, so unmissable moments stay unmissable, and life is lived unlimited. Switch to Ultrafast Shaw Fibre Broadband and pay half price for the first 6 months. Save up to £543. T's and C's apply. See shaw.com/offers.
To celebrate 40 years on the Isle of Man, Zurich will be performing 40 random acts of kindness in the community throughout the summer holidays. Keep an eye out for the Zurich team, who'll be delivering treats from flowers and coffee to donations and paid event entry throughout August. Zurich has also teamed up with Manx Radio for some of the Friday school holiday surprises. To find out where we'll be, follow Manx Radio on Facebook and stay tuned to the Nation Station. You can also keep up with all the acts by following Zurich Isle of Man on Facebook and Instagram. 40 acts of kindness from Zurich on the Isle of Man. Hashtag 40 Gives 40.
Oh, I just hate being without you.
The Sunday Chill Out. Chris Pearson.
Summer 2022 chill, even when the weather doesn't want to join the party. The Sunday Chill Out brings the Ibiza beach vibes to you between 7 and 9 every Sunday evening. Get in touch by emailing chill@manxradio.com with your chilled out tune choice or a suggestion for our 8:30 Sunday Slammer.
Chris Pearson. The Sunday Chill Out.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
It's 26 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Mark's on Manx Radio. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Andy. How are you? You okay?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
I just wanted to make that point about, obviously, listening, you know, there is a crisis situation at the moment and some very valid points. And it just made me think about Kroger and the restrictions that the government have put in place with regards to their ability to do the seismic analysis. So I think it's something to do with the fishing or spawning season. And given the situation, shouldn't the government actually lift those restrictions and allow Kroger to actually start the seismic activity sooner rather than later? Because the sooner they're able to discover whether they can actually extract the gas in an economic way, the sooner the government will be able to know whether they'll be able to get tax revenue from Kroger. And I think, you know, I think they've got to relook at that. I understand there's a highly principled position on this, but there's an element of practicality in all this now. And I think, you know, given the impact on the general population, maybe that's something the government should look at and reconsider.
When is it due to start? When are they allowed to start currently?
I'm not sure. I think it's at the beginning of the year, beginning of 2023, I recall. I remember listening to, I'm not sure if it was the CEO on your radio show, but I remember them saying it was the beginning of 2023, maybe. But, you know, if they're able to do it sooner, then why not? You know, why not? And then they'll be able to discover whether they can actually extract the gas and do something, and the government can potentially, you know, make more money from it and have the ability to potentially do something with the tax revenue to alleviate the situation on the Isle of Man.
Well, at the moment, we have, you know, there are opinions at both ends of the spectrum. We have people who, you know, wave green credentials and say this is something we shouldn't be looking at. There are people on the other side saying, you know, we have potentially, and of course, this is potential. Well, nobody knows for certain how, if there is any gas down there, who knows what it may be.
Well, the whole world's moved on dramatically in the last 6 months. I mean, the Green Party in Finland now have declared gas a clean energy along with nuclear. And I think the European Parliament has also reclassified nuclear and gas as well. So, you know, I think even the traditional sort of groups who are becoming more practical about the whole thing at the moment, given the crisis situation globally. So, I think, you know, I take your point about both sides have a view, but I think there's a practical element to this. The certain people in the Isle of Man who aren't able to potentially pay the bills. I think that's a lot of people, not just the worse off. I think even the, you know, normal families will struggle this winter, and the gas reserves have been completely depleted over the summer months because, of course, in Europe, with the air conditioning being on the time, the gas reserves, I understand, aren't where they're going to be. And I was reading, interestingly, in the Telegraph yesterday, they're talking about shedding. Is it a thing called shedding, whereby the government will have to manage the amount of energy into the system, and that could potentially mean manage blackouts. So that was in the Daily Mail and the Telegraph as well. And the interesting point is there is that where does the Isle of Man stand in terms of energy? If the UK government are potentially allocating where gas and energy can be turned on and off, where is the Isle of Man in with regards to the situation in the UK and the interconnector? So that's a whole, you know, that's in the mainstream press now with regards to potentially managed blackouts in the UK.
No politician on the Isle of Man is talking about Kroger at the moment. Do you think it's something that should be moved up the agenda?
Absolutely, absolutely. When needs must, you just got to get on and do it. It's great being principled, but when it comes down to it, yeah, being practical is far more important. I think Manx people are very practical when it comes down to it, and I think the government should move it up the agenda. And if they can do something about it, get it done.
Okay.
Stop. All right. Around.
We appreciate
it. Right.
Thanks for that. Good to hear from you. Talking of Ireland, I got a note in from, it was, Vernon. That was it. Vernon who dropped me a note just to say, of course, the Irish do have their own offshore gas. Well, they used to have two, but I think the one off the south of Ireland has been discontinued now. But they got a big one off County Mayo, the northwest coast of County Mayo, which is happening now. It started seven years ago and is providing offshore gas for Ireland. There are many places around the world that are starting offshore gas projects, so it's not like the Isle of Man wouldn't stick out. I do understand that there are, as Mark said, there are principled arguments on both sides, and I do understand that people do have sometimes fixed, dogmatic even, opinions about what we should be doing. But we're in a different situation. Nobody could have suggested at the start of this year what would have happened in the Ukraine and with the Russian gas. A note in from Peter who says, actually, that TT Ray schedule has been extended, so it's not tonight at midnight. It's a week tonight. It closes on the 19th of August, not the 12th of August. They've extended it following extensive customer and stakeholder research. They've extended this. The Isle of Man TT Ray's schedule change starting from next year. That website address is consult.gov.im. If you go to there and punch in TT Ray's 2023, or if you want to give the TT Motorsport Development Officer, his name is Rob Temple, there, and his number is 687087. That's a publicly available number at the website. Rob Temple on 687087. If it's something you'd like to give your views on, if you go to that web page, there is a click through for an online survey. But still, we'll wait to find out whether or not the mountain course is going to be two way next year, and there will be a two way. And obviously, not doing races, but we'll see what happens. It doesn't matter what limits are set on which roads, there are always going to be idiots who ignore them, says cynical Jill. Well, that's it. People, antisocial people, will always do what they want to do. For your information, by the way, in May 22, the board gas unit rate per kilowatt hour is 9.8 cents, says this correspondent. Regarding the water shortage, have the MUA provided news on rolling out domestic smart water restricted flow meters? Says Andy. We haven't heard yet. And we're trying to get to the bottom of the restricted flow that the MUA may be doing on various rivers around the Isle of Man. And thank you, Ronnie, who dropped a note in and said, oh, imagine that. Power cuts every Sunday afternoon. It'll just be like the 1980s with the old diesel power station at Paul Rose.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861-271.
Red and yellow and pink or blue?
Thinking of a rainbow?
No, choosing colours for our windows and doors at Manx Glass and Glazing.
Oh, who'd have thought we'd have so much choice?
We do at Manx Glass and Glazing. When it comes to windows and doors, they offer a great choice of styles, materials and fabulous contemporary colours.
Improve and brighten up your home. Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate or get inspired when you see the range at manxglass.com.
At IQ, you'll find all the latest Apple products, from iPhone to iPad, Mac to Apple Watch, and much more. Need help getting started or have a question about how to do something? Then get our Apple experts to book you into one of their Learn at IQ training sessions. And as an Apple authorized service provider, we're here when the worst happens. We use only genuine Apple parts, and our technicians are certified by Apple. And all our Apple products come with a one-year warranty. IQ Prospect Hill Douglas, or go to IQIOM.com.
Milchrist's Motors have been an integral part of Manx motoring for over 60 years and the longest standing exhibitor at the Royal Show. View a selection of our cars and see why we pride our family-run business in looking after all your motoring needs.
We are ready to go at B&B Furniture with a wide range of manager specials throughout the store. If it says I'm ready to go, then it is ready to go. Priced in-store for immediate delivery and no long wait for stock to arrive onto the island. Get the furniture you're longing for with no wait, no deposit required and 0% finance available when you get ready to go at B&B Furniture. It's all here under one one roof at the B&B Furniture three-story showroom in Snugborough.
B&B Furniture.
In June 1999, RAF engineer Charlie Brown's military career came to an abrupt end.
So we went in and sat in the office and Sam, the warrant officer, basically said to me, I'd allegedly told people that I was homosexual.
MOD policy at the time banned gay people from serving in the military. 6 months after his administrative discharge, that policy changed forever.
In some point in January 2000, they changed the rules and said it was okay to be gay in the British military.
Hear Charlie's story as part of the build-up to the Pride Festival, tonight at 6 o'clock on Manx Radio, and afterwards as a podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
It's a quarter to one on Manx Radio. Man in Line with you through to one. I feel, says David, that government policy has put all our eggs in the finance sector basket for the past 50-odd years, so tourism, like agriculture, has been left to drift away. Well, that's certainly the case. From 1984 onwards, the early 1980s, it was the government of Sir Miles Walker who decided that was the way we were going to go. What we have been rewarded with since 1984, long time, best part of 40-odd years, is continuous growth. It's fair to say that the visiting industry, the tourist industry, by the end of the 1970s, once the millennium had gone, it really had seen the best and was certainly on the way down. Now, whether or not we can rekindle tourism, or indeed agriculture for that matter, is yet to be proven. One thing that certainly has been proven is that the finance sector has rewarded the Isle of Man with non-stop growth since 1984. And you can't argue against that. But who knows what the future is going to bring. Julian's back. Hi, Julian.
Just a quick one, another Howard, a very quick one. I've just been listening to mention of the gas prices and how there doesn't seem to be any end in sight, and we're looking forward to, well, rather we're going to be facing a winter of discontent, you might say, with prices going up. And There was somebody on yesterday who said something interesting about the Isle of Man government sanctioning Russia. If you remember, they were delisting on the Isle of Man register aircraft and super yachts and stuff like that. And last month, Russia actually, it's on the BBC, funnily enough, have actually isolated the Isle of Man as an unfriendly state. I think it was 27th of July they did that. But the one thing that nobody's mentioning is, how about our politicians perhaps starting to make some noises about trying to find some form of diplomatic way to de-escalate the war? Because that is actually the cause of all of this.
In what way de-escalate? Manx politicians, you mean?
Well, maybe make a start, as a, because we're supposed to be a nation, so perhaps somebody should just sort of stand up and say, perhaps there is a way that we can find to stop this, otherwise this is going to go on for years, because it doesn't seem to be anybody kind of waving a flag and saying, should we sit around a table and at least have a chat about it?
Oh, you mean to propose ourselves as an honest broker?
Well, you know, I'm only on for a second. But if anybody has a brief look, say, at the Minsk agreements of 2014 and 15, or if you go back to February 9th, 1990, and you look at what the US Secretary of State, James Baker, said on behalf of NATO, and then you look at those two things in context with the Cuban Missile Crisis, everything's not quite what it appears, I think. But whichever way round you look at it, this is something that doesn't seem to have an end in sight. And if you're going to lance the boil, that's the way to do it, I think. Unless we go all out and have a huge conflagration, which nobody wants.
Well, again, I think much like the situation that's bubbling away in Taiwan, nobody quite knows what's going to happen, Julian.
Yeah, but it seems the pedal's to the metal, and there's nobody kind of saying there is a break as well. You know, there's... Otherwise, how long is this going to go on? And, you know, the longer it goes on, there will come a point when we don't have a comfortable amount of assets in reserve. What's going to happen then? Because it seems to be we're off the cliff and nobody's getting the crampons out, if you know what I mean.
All right, Julian, thanks for that.
Just an idea.
All right, thanks for calling today. It's 11 minutes before one. Here's a note in from 223, just that no name on this, anonymous. People are dreaming if they think that gas found in Manx waters will give us cheap energy. Any gas found here will have to be sold on the global market, and we would still have to pay market rates. Is that so? I mean, maybe you have inside knowledge. I don't know about this 223, but is that so? What has been intimated before is, and certainly by the Kroger, the people behind Kroger, is that the Isle of Man will be given a beneficial position. Certainly there'll be a lot of money, a lot of tax that will be generated if this gas, A, is found and B, brought ashore. It will then have to be, there is a spare pipeline. There are two pipes that come to the Isle of Man, so apart from the gas that comes our way, we will be able, or would be able, to send gas up the other one. So the facility is actually there. But maybe it's the time to find the people from Kroger again and just have a chat and where they think they are. But that's the situation. The seismic activity to survey the bed isn't going to happen until the new year. Regarding the water shortage, more questions about the river and restricted flows. And here's a note in that says, regarding hate crime, I think it would be awful. You've been talking about this for the past few days. I think it would be awful if the Isle of Man goes the way of the UK. I think it's an increasing sinister role. I think the agenda is purely for government intervention and control. The bill needs careful thought to ensure that free speech is available. Thank you for that message. I've got a message in that just says, just regarding the MUA, GBP per cubic litre, no matter what the price is set in the future, if gas is scarce and five per cubic litre like the MUA, will be laughing if the price is dropping, then the MUA would need to charge more to make up their loss, says Nick the Skip. I got a note in from Thelma, who said, I live in Ramsey. Can you please tell me, I've tried to find out, what is going on with Lloyd's Pharmacy and Manx Care? There have been some recent pharmacy issues in Ramsey. Lloyd's has recently reopened its branch in St. Paul's Square in Ramsey. In fact, it opened I think on the 1st of this month, a week last Monday. However, customers are being asked to be patient because apparently some of the Lloyds pharmacy staff there are new. Manx Care, in the meantime, has been supporting one of the other two Lloyds pharmacy branches in Ramsey, the one on Parliament Street, over the past few weeks, while St Paul's Square has been closed. So there has indeed been an impact. This has also, the closures had an impact on staff and patients at Ramsey Group Practice, including the increase it's caused, the workload there for the practice staff. Now, the RPS, the prescription service, which was previously available at all Lloyds branches in Ramsey, where repeat prescriptions were pre-ordered by Lloyds Pharmacy from a GP surgery on behalf of the patient, it's not available for the foreseeable future at all Lloyds branches in Ramsey. So until it's available again, you need to make arrangements to reorder your repeat prescription from the GP themselves, allowing plenty of time, hopefully, well, at least a week, to ensure that they've got sufficient medication. Now, you may wish to explore using the Patient Access app to order this if you've got it set up. Your GP practice will be able to help you, but you will have to provide photo identification. You can also tick the required items on the repeat request form that comes with the prescription and hand that to your GP practice. So it has been a bit of a pickle, continues to be a bit of a pickle around Ramsey with repeat prescriptions. But Manx Care assure you that they're working closely with Lloyds Pharmacy and the Ramsey Group Practice over the coming weeks to ensure continuity of service for residents in the north of the Isle of Man. They suggest, by the way, you consider those who live in your local community who may need a repeat prescription, collecting for them and dropping to a pharmacy, and the people who may not readily have access to local or social media to receive this message. So basically, help your neighbours if you can. That's the situation regarding that. If you've got any thoughts on that matter, if you've been affected by that in Ramsey, by all means get in touch. We've been talking also lately about disability access. And here's B on 235 and says, we need to talk about the Palace Cinema. Giant steps to get up to the Palace Cinema, let alone that enormous ramp that you have to get up unless you're going from the car park. The Palace Cinema has no facility for individuals with disabilities or mobility issues, but they have a toilet for use by the disabled. Broadway Cinema is accessible to all but the majority, but the blockbusters go to the Palace for its size, which is understandable. So once again, the disabled are second-class citizens, in my opinion, and have been so on the Isle of Man for a very long time. So much for inclusivity and disability rights. Surely something needs to be done about this, and presumably that would mean that the government has to do something about it. Otherwise, are disabled people classed as second-class citizens? Thank you also, G said, nobody picked up my observation the other day about Lloyds in Onken being a bit chaotic as well, says G. Could you give us a bit more information? I remember you said that there was it a shortage of staff and new staff at Lloyds in Onken, G? And also somebody dropped a note in to say the Lloyds problem is island-wide, certainly in Castletown, says G. Thank you for that note. Now, we're going to be live from the show tomorrow, the Royal Show at Ramsey. The weather is going to be absolutely glorious. So we hope to see your face in the place if you go in tomorrow. Lots of stuff happening. I mean, big amount of attractions. If you're into Land Rovers, there's the Land Rover Experience Display Team who will be offering you, yes, you, exhilarating rides as they put Land Rovers through a mobile course designed to show off what Land Rovers can do. Paul Hannon, the quad bike stuntman, is going to be there. Manx Telecom have got family entertainment for the Isle of Play. There's free water around, organised water points for visitors at various places to reduce the amount of single-use plastic. If you want to charge your phone, by the way, You can do it free of charge at the Manx radio stand. So we're looking forward to seeing you. Claire Barber, Defa Minister, is going to be there. Bill Dale from Beach Buddies live on the air tomorrow. Roger Putman's The Isle of Man Beekeepers will be there. Finlay McLeod from The Creamery. Rachel Ransom from Ballykelly Meats. Ian Parsons and Murray Kringle from the NFU. And Ian Drake from Rich Mocha Company will be there.
WINT.